Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Harditz, and today we're continuing our 10-question series as we continue to look ahead at the draft, recording this on April 22nd. People, the draft is finally almost here, and that will get us finally to the true fantasy football offseason. It's fun looking at these prospects. I enjoy free agency too, but let's get these rosters set. We can move on, find this year's Chris Herndon bust, find this year's AJ Brown boom. A lot of good stuff there. Again, very special guest today. He is director of content over at PFF, co-host of the PFF forecast, George Chiruri. You can find on Twitter at PFF underscore George. George, happy, pre-draft. Thanks for the time, brother.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the booms and the busts. I legitimately won a fantasy league because of Jalen Hurts last year. So personally, I'm looking for the next quarterback. We'll probably talk about that here in a second. I do have to say, though, I have to set the mood. I'm on your podcast, okay? So I have here the world's largest scented candle.
Oh,
this
my
is
goodness.
Legitimately, whoa! It's like in it's a hewn into like a tree, okay? And I don't light this bad boy up that often.
Special occasion candle, let's go.
Special occasion, so we got to set the mood here. So I've got my enormous candle ready. Maybe we'll name it Justin after the next rookie quarterback that I'll have, and we'll go from there.
This is a candle-friendly podcast, as everyone knows. And don't be surprised if we get some PFF Lily candles on the marketplace as early as 2022. Just a little tease right there that they might call it in the business. Fantastic stuff, George. And yes, we will be looking at all things quarterbacks coming in here. And let's get started on that because, first off, man, it is draft prop season. Like, that's the thing. You want to make money. You want to have fun, watching the draft as well. But you and Mr. Eric Eager have already put down a pretty penny on Justin Fields going at number 3 of the 49ers. Last time I saw the odds, Fields was at plus 160. Where did you get him and how are you feeling about that bet as it stands today?
Yes. So we started the Justin Fields number 3 overall syndicate when Justin Fields was plus 250.
Ooh.
And so right now looking at DraftKings Sportsbook, Mac Jones plus 150, Fields is, as you said, plus 160, and Trey Lance is plus 350. I feel fine. Okay. I didn't want to get too high when Justin Fields became the favorite after his pro day. I don't want to feel too low that it swung back into Mac Jones' favoritism. I still own 250, and I feel good about that. I still got great value. I don't think Justin Fields is getting back to plus 250 unless something leaks like right before the draft. So here's the thing. Everyone knows that watches my podcast, and everyone that's watching this podcast should know that I'm invested in the 49ers success. But even if it wasn't the 49ers, I would be stunned. And I think this is the thing that makes me feel confident in at least getting value with Fields, is if it wasn't the 49ers at 3, there's no way in hell Mac Jones would be the favorite. If you look at, for example, the Atlanta Falcons, who have a great offensive mind in Arthur Smith, no one is talking about them taking Mac Jones if he falls. Everyone is talking about, well, if Justin Fields or Trey Lance falls, would they take him? So I still feel pretty good. Nervous, but good.
I think you should, man. But the one thing I don't get here, like if the 49ers had the number 3 pick this whole time and, they're trying to spark up interest, maybe someone else come up and mm-hmm. no one is what they're thinking, that'd be one thing. But for them to trade up for this pick and then to get all this smoke about Mac Jones coming, like that's the confusing part to me because I don't think they made this trade without already knowing who they were going to take. And we can look at Justin Fields' second pro day and, analyze how his feet are lined up and how, Shanahan changed out Matt Ryan. I get that all. But, at some point when there's smoke, there is fire. fire. And I just don't see why the 49ers would have this smoke going out unless there was some truth behind it.
Do you think, though, like what we know about John Lynch is he's not a guy that sends smoke out. So yeah. Like there's nothing else to talk about. I don't believe, unless you are literally listening to John Lynch in his heart when he's praying before bed. Like, I don't even think his wife, I don't know if he's married or not. I don't think his wife sleeping next to him knows who John Lynch wants to take. That's the type of secrecy that I believe that he has with the Niners. So I think the market should be much more flat. And we'll talk about some of my favorites a little later. May or may not come back to this pick. The syndicate may be moving in other directions here, Ian.
And for the record, I am fully on the Justin Fields, please go number three.
I'm shocked.
You know, just shocker there. Fun quote, though, I saw on the old Twitter sphere this week from Jay Moyer at Jay Moyer FB on Twitter. He basically said, if Mac Jones doesn't master the cognitive side like a Brady, Breeze, Manning, he busts. If Fields does, he's a top three QB. That really is what it comes down to with this people. Like, Fields is an objectively more complete, better prospect. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan, Lynch, they know a little bit more about football than us. Maybe they still have a plan with Mac Jones. But as you brilliantly brought up, George, every other team, like, we're not talking about them taking Mac Jones. Yes. We're talking about these other guys. So again, we're all expecting three QBs to go off the board, picks 1 through 3. Things get a little more interesting with the Falcons at 4, mm-hmm. Bengals at 5. We got Kyle, and I'm looking at the DraftKings, like, odds to go in the top 5. We got Kyle Pitts at minus 150, Jamar Chase minus 125, Trey Lance minus 110, Mac Jones minus 400, Fields minus 200. More, I guess, like, we feel more sure about this top 5, I guess, than we have in recent memories. We're tentatively not expecting a Cleveland Farrell situation to be coming up. Do you see any potential surprises here, or does this kind of allotment of 5-6 players make sense to you?
Yeah, and interestingly, Cleveland Farrell, last Clemson player to go in the top 4. We're not talking enough about whether we can trust Trevor Lawrence, because when we've seen Clemson players go in the top 4, they haven't. No, I'm just
huge messing. Sample size, man. You know, yeah. you gotta do it.
I'm poking fun at the Ohio State quarterbacks are bad narrative, which, you know, it's just everything with Justin Fields.
No one seems to bring up that Alabama point, even though we've had such a long, you know, history of Alabama quarterbacks.
Exactly. Anyway, we could talk about that. We do a whole 10 questions on that. To your point on the top 5, I look, Mac Jones minus 400, I think is just a horrible value. You know, if you're taking Justin Fields at minus 200, I would rather take his prop. You get, I think it's 4.5, or, you know, I'm looking at DraftKings right now. I'm not sure it's actually up anymore, but you can find it in places at 4.5. If I had to bet one of these, I think it would be Kyle Pitts minus 150. And, the reason for that is I think even if Atlanta is going to take him, but even if Atlanta doesn't take him, I do think that the Bengals are at least on the side of offensive weapon, and it would be hard for them to pass up on Kyle Pitts. So I think that's the one that I would go with. Penei Sewell minus 125. I don't think any of the more the longer shots, like Micah Parsons plus 700, he's just not going top 5. He's not nearly that good of a defender, not a Chase Young type player. So those are the two that I would go with there.
Yeah, again, no real screaming value here. I wish I had a long shot. I just think it'd be a little bit irresponsible. Love the Kyle Pitts of the Falcons and Bengals situation, honestly. I mean, yeah. In fantasy land, putting Kyle Pitts in that Bengals offense, giving him all those targets that CJ Uzomah had before he got hurt last year, that'd be great. And I think it'd benefit T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd a little bit more than having Joey Burrow's ex BFF back in the swing of things. So one quarterback we haven't talked a ton about, Trey Lance, has some fun draft specials on his specific landing spot. We got the Broncos at plus 200, 49. Niners plus 350, Patriots plus 400, Falcons plus 500, Washington football team at plus 800. Now, I had our boy Anthony Triash on this podcast last week. He sees Lance going to Washington. He's buying those rumors. I know they didn't go to his pro day, but George, plus 800, that's pretty intriguing.
And it's also, in fact, I'm looking at it right now, and the Panthers plus 1100 are also interesting to me. Bears plus 1200.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing about the Washington football team, because I have bet the Washington football team to win the division at 3-1. And they have, look at their quarterbacks, okay? They put Taylor Heineke on there. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick. What do we know about Ryan Fitzpatrick? He is the ultimate bridge, okay? He's the ultimate bridge quarterback. He's a quarterback that you feel, okay, we can start this guy, and we can be patient with a quarterback. We also know that the sole owner of the Washington football team is Dan Snyder. And I just think Dan Snyder might look at this team and go, why don't we have a quarterback with a chance to be great? If we do, this team could very well be the best team in the division by a decent margin, right? Like the Dallas Cowboys have a ton of holes. So if Trey Lance, if he doesn't go to the Niners, he slips out of the top six, and then you have some teams who are sitting there, maybe they're not sold. It allows Washington to maybe move up. So I love 8-1. If Lance falls to the Panthers, I really think the Panthers need to take a look in the mirror and be like, hey, we don't have a quarterback here. So I like that long shot as well. And the Bears are kind of interesting too at 12-1. I like Trey Lance as like the dart throw as opposed to Mac Jones. So I'm with Tresh on that one. I like 8-1.
Yeah. I mean, there's three teams, you know, Washington, Carolina, and the Bears that we know are in the market for quarterbacks, whether or not they specifically end up with Lance, but those odds, the odd disparity between them and I think the guys at the top don't make a lot of sense. I mean, the Broncos are probably going to have to trade up for him if they want him. Why are they only plus 200 if Washington is all the way? You're getting four times better odds on it. So we'll see, man. Do you think Trey Lance would be the QB to fall if one is going to? I mean, on the one hand, he's got all the physical tools we could ask for, so I wouldn't think so. But we do have, you know, him with Zach Wilson. We know Wilson's going too, but there just isn't that much high-level film. At some point, that has to matter.
I cannot believe that we are having a conversation of who will fall. Uniquely talented athlete at quarterback one in Justin Fields, uniquely talented athlete quarterback number two in Trey Lance, or Mac Jones. I'm not going to fat shame anyone on this hollowed ground here, but like, come on, man. I mean, he was throwing to wide open receivers left and right behind the best offensive line in football, and he did so really well. Congratulations. Okay. But to compare him and say he's not the guy that's going to fall, I would say that Mac Jones is the guy that has the best chance of falling, because I really do think it's the Niners taking him or else. Because if you look at the reason people are talking about Jones for the Niners is because Kyle Shanahan has proven that he can do it with mediocre quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I have not seen another team where people feel confident they can do it with mediocre quarterbacks. I don't think there's another team that would even think that way. So I think the Broncos at plus 200 for Lance, by the way, is a ridiculously high price. Like, I don't even know if he falls to nine, we don't know if they take him, you know? And I could see the Broncos being in a position where if he gets to nine, you know, maybe there are teams that are willing to trade up and they decide to move back. Their irrational confidence in Locke is kind of strange, but I have to believe based on the talent with these quarterbacks that Mac Jones is the one that would fall. But the NFL's weird, man.
Bama got Mac Jones, but who's to say the NFL team won't get Michael McCorkle Jones? I mean, it's just, you know, one of these leaps of faith we're going to have to make. But with that said, I mean, I think we'd all be surprised if Mac Jones falls out of the first round. We have our five QBs that we think will go. Over under four QBs drafted is 5.5, minus 560 lean on the under, plus 390 on the over. So we got Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, even Jamie Newman. Like, do any of these guys strike you as someone that could like rise up and go in these final five picks to get us on that over? Or do you just think these guys are basically like set in stone as day two, day three quarterbacks?
Yeah, and you can bet some of these guys to go by round, and I think most of them start in round three at plus 200-ish. So I think the second round is the place. Here's the way that I would think about it is the teams that you would say, okay, they might take a quarterback, they might take one of these quarterbacks, and you look at, I think the Steelers are interesting. I think the Saints are interesting. And I think those teams will look at it and go, who else is going to take one of these guys? You know, and they'll go, why don't we take one of the better skill position players, see how much of a run we can make, in large part because I think those teams have coaches that aim to be competitive.
Yeah.
And so I see those guys falling into the second round. If one was going to go, my guess would be a team that's like super high on Kellen Mond, similarly to the Jordan Love kind of thing. But I'll say this, one of the reasons I don't think a team will do that is because of what blowback the Packers had for going and getting Love to back up a legend in Aaron Rodgers. So no, I'm not buying any of those guys. I think that the numbers are pretty spot on here. I don't see six going.
Yeah, as much as the Steelers, you know, could probably use another high-end quarterback for the immediate future after this season. I mean, Big Ben already throws enough of a hissy fit every time they take one in round two or three. I can't imagine what would happen if they took one in round one. So, yeah, I'm with you. And I saw those, you know, by round value. I didn't see any of those, you know, specific spots that I liked all that much either. Between these guys, though, is there one, you know, just, again, non-top five quarterback that if you had to hang your hat on and bet on succeeding before, you know, a landing spot that you feel especially good about?
Yeah, you know, for me, my belief is that with a lot of these guys going in the later rounds, it's about getting lucky on the situation, because if you're not one of these top talent guys, it's all about your like work ethic, right? And your ability to just give whatever, you know, go the 110% that you need to put yourself in a position to eventually start. And so, you know, you're kind of making a guess there. I personally would maybe lean Kellen Mond there. Okay. He played in a more pro style offense in Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. He had a really crappy supporting cast. So like the fact that he made it through the season, I think is, you know, impressive. He improved his completion percentage all three seasons. He's got a little bit of that athleticism that you would look for that gives you a higher floor. So if I had to hang my hat on one, agnostic of what, you know, where they went, it'd be Kellen Mond. And like, I would love to see him end up in Pittsburgh or something, you know, a place that would, could really use a guy. Big Ben is so immobile now, but remember when he was mobile, that, you know, 15 years ago, like that was fun. So that would be the guy in the place.
I don't know, man. You bring up Kellen Mond, and I hear the Cincy police coming to get you in the background. So be careful.
It's a dangerous world out here. I'm like two blocks from the stadium, and we have this main drag here. It's one of the funniest things. They legitimately have bike races out here. And I've never joined. I'm tempted, you know, because I ride a bike to work. It's they are on motorcycles, but, you know, I've been putting in the work.
Just ride up next to him one day, see what happens. Incredible.
If I were, you know, I don't know what the odds of me surviving that interaction would be, but I would think that they would get a good laugh out of it, and it would be funny. If I had anyone to record the video, I'd try and make a viral video.
If you do survive, you know, you have a good story. You got to consider these things sometimes.
Maybe I'll get Austin Gale to record me. I'll just roll up in my bike, come up alongside him, just give him a wink. And we'll see how it goes.
The important notes we need in draft season. Only last point I make about these QBs, that Jamie Newman's been someone intriguing to me lately. He was at Wake Forest, you know, pretty dynamic dual threat guy, averaged 46 rushing yards per game at Wake, transferred to Georgia, was about to get to play a season under Todd Monken, but unfortunately he had to opt out due to COVID. So someone that people are saying, you know, with a good season in 2020, he could have potentially leaped into that upper tier. We will see. Again, you know, all this is so landing spot dependent. I don't want to go out too far on a limb at the moment, but keep an eye on where Newman eventually lands. We're going to take a quick break to pay some bills. Masvidal and Usman put on a show last time they stepped into the octagon. That's very kind of you, DraftKings, but in reality, Usman absolutely dominated Masvidal from bell to bell. Round two is sure to pack a punch. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 26-1 odds on either title contender to reign victorious. All right, everyone, Usman is like minus 400. Bet on Usman. Do not bet on Masvidal. Just bet $5 on Usman to win, and if they walk out with the belt, you will win $130 in cash. Don't worry if MMA isn't for you. DraftKings Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. So please download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code PFF when you sign up to turn $5 into $130 if the Usman wins. Again, not Masvidal. Place your bet. Watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code PFF to turn $5 into $130 if the fighter of your choosing takes home the crown. For limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. George, let's talk about PFF's favorite position, running back. Travis Etienne, you know, it's funny. We've been talking about, we got our draft show coming up, pff.com. Make sure you all check that out next Thursday through Sunday. And, you know, just kind of some of the preliminary meetings, you know, talking about what if someone drafts an RB round one. Well, you know, instead of just zooming in on you guys and how terrible a pick it was and how much we all hate it, send it over to the fantasy side of things. Yes. And we'll be happy to see some guaranteed opportunities. So kicking things off with Travis Etienne. Right now his over under is 34.5. So they're not exactly seeing him making it too far in the round two. Do you have any gut feel on this? And then there's general thoughts on Travis Etienne, where I'm afraid to go too far on the I'm not back in ETN train, because if he goes to Pittsburgh, Atlanta, the Jets, or the 49ers, he doesn't need to be great, and he'll still have enough opportunity to put up numbers. But man, George, he did not look like the same guy in 2020 that he did 2017 and 2019.
He really didn't, and he didn't look super explosive at his pro day either. Neither did Javonte Williams, who's our, if you look at the PFF draft guide, Javonte Williams, our number one guy. I'm actually looking at PFF big board right now, but both of them have the same information at pff.com. I've been on the Javonte Williams bus for a while, and he's now our number one running back. He was our highest graded running back last year. He's also the youngest of these three. Najee Harris, 23, Travis Etienne, 22, Javonte Williams, a shade under 21. So look, Javonte would be the guy that I take first. But looking at the NFL, I do think there's something about, you know, the pedigree of these guys that matters. If I had to bet, I would say Travis Etienne goes under 34 and a half. I think there are two teams that will take a running back in round one. I'd bet the over prop there. I think it's a half. I can't remember the exact price there. It's minus like 150 or something like that, I think. And look, Najee Harris ran behind the best offensive line in football. Clemson was fine, but they weren't anywhere close to that. I think Etienne is being not credited enough for his pass catching ability. He goes to a place like Pittsburgh. I think it's kind of the perfect, people have said like, who's the next Le'Veon Bell? To me, like Travis Etienne makes a ton of sense there. It's not like blazing speed, but he's super slippery. He was a huge home run threat in 2019. You know, maybe he suffered some injuries in 2020 that we don't know about. Yeah. I personally think that, you know, if it's the Bills or the Steelers or even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, drafting Travis Etienne will happen in the first 34 picks.
You mentioned the worst offensive line. He also put on 15 pounds. He might have been one of the guys, you know, Clemson had a big time COVID outbreak before the season started. Could be a bunch of factors. I hope we see the best version of ETN coming out, but just realize, people, he did not look like the same explosive guy in 2020 as he did previously. Hopefully he does land on a spot that brings that side back out of him. And George, bringing into our next question, it sounds like Javonte Williams at plus 400 could be the pick here for first running back off the board. I don't know why there's such a big disparity between Najee Harris at minus 150, ETN at plus 150, and Javonte, again, all the way down there at plus 400. Like, even if you really believe Najee is the best player, like we just saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire go ahead of Jonathan Taylor among another, you know, plethora of, you know, really good backs. So Javonte plus 400, you buying in?
I am. Here's another guy that put on 15 pounds. did so over the last couple of years, but he broke more tackles than any other running back last season. And that was with a limited sample size. And I actually see that as a strength. So people go like, oh, well, he had 157 attempts last year, 165 the year before, 43 the year before. And people act like this is a problem. No. I don't think people understand. You actually want less tread on the tires with running backs. Like, I can tell whether a guy is elusive and fast without seeing him do it 400 times a season. I don't know if people get that, but that's like super obvious. So I actually think it's a downgrade to have someone that comes in the rookie contract, which is when you get value. If you get value from running backs, you're not wanting to sign these guys to a second deal. You want them fresh throughout that deal. So Javonte Williams, to me, it's easy. He's the most elusive. That is the most consistent transition point, or I'm using the weird language here, but it's the most consistent data point from college to pro. Like, a guy that's elusive in college, you feel pretty confident he's going to be elusive in the pros. And I think Mike Renner talked about the Alvin Kamara comparison from a playing style, which I think makes a ton of sense. And I think people should look at Alvin Kamara and go, oh yeah, I'd love to have a guy like that. Not saying he'll be that good, but that's the type of guy you're getting here. And I think the similarity is interesting in that Alvin Kamara, also a guy that did not have a ton of tread on the tires in college, didn't seem to matter. And he's been pretty damn durable in the pros. I bet that Javonte Williams at 8-1. If I had to right now, I would certainly bet him at 4-1. I think regardless, he's a guy that I'm owning on my fantasy team, pending he's not in a terrible situation.
Yeah, that 8-1 number you got, certainly looking pretty good now. And
you got to bet these early.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't heard this argument yet, but, you know, before Javonte, David Montgomery was kind of the poster child for just racking up explosive tackles in college. And look, people, I know he was disappointing for the first part of his rookie year, but he really came on very well last year. He was at the top of the league in terms of broken tackles. Everyone said, great, he doesn't have any explosiveness. Well, he didn't break big runs until we got the holes too. And then he was rushing for, 50. I think he had like an 80-yard touchdown against the Texans down the way. So, Montgomery, Cam Akers, Miles Sanders, Jonathan Taylor, like the list goes on and on of rookie running backs that struggle a little bit out of the gate and improve as time goes on. Like, don't let David Montgomery shift your opinion on Javonte Williams, who 76 broken tackles and 157 carries. Breaking tackles, for lack of a better word, is good for running backs. Don't let, again, recent story of Montgomery, who has been good, dissuade you from that. Now moving on to wide receiver here. George, we're recording this on Thursday. On Wednesday, man, Devontae Smith and his weight was just all over Twitter. I tried my hand with a little Photoshop where I just was like, some guys are too thin, and I just kind of pretty much dragged it over. And the amount of people that just still didn't get it just is incredible to me, but that is Twitter in a nutshell. Anyway, his over-under rests at 11.5, slight minus 130 lean on the over. Do you see the Heisman winner making it past the Giants at pick number 11?
I kind of do. And I personally, it's not what I would do. I think I would probably select him in the top 11. Eric and I will do our second iteration of the mock that all mockers love to mock, because we don't go by conventional wisdom and value receivers fairly high relative to common consensus. But if you look right now at the markets, Jalen Waddle has become an increasingly heavy favorite to go before him. I believe that Jalen Waddle will go before him. And then you look at some of these teams, 9, 10, 11, 12, have needs at corner, could have needs at tackle. I think Micah Parsons squeaks his way in, into the top 12-ish maybe, because a team goes, we need muscle and grit on the defensive side of the ball. And that leaves poor skinny Devontae Smith out in the cold. I actually really like him going 12 to the Eagles. I know that Nick Sirianni is over there playing rock, paper, scissors with words that are coming out of his mouth. And that's a tough thing to watch. It's honestly hard to watch. Eagles fans have done nothing to deserve that, because they've been saints for the entirety of their lives. But I think Devontae Williams would be sweet with the Eagles. They took Rager last year. Everyone goes, oh, he was a bust. Okay, well, that team was a dumpster fire last year. Devontae Smith, to me, is the perfect pair. Like, he's fast. He's not slow by any stretch of the imagination. But he's a technician. He can be your number one guy. Rager can be more of your, not gadget, but like specialty player. Sure. I think that's what Jalen Hurts deserves, whether he'll get it or not, I don't know. So I would probably also lean over. I think if I'm betting this, though, you're getting about the same odds with Waddle versus Smith, which one to go first. And so I would probably bet Waddle to go first over Smith, rather than taking the Smith over under.
Yeah, my first note here is, like, I'm just surprised it's at 11.5 at the Eagles next up. I don't think the Giants need to take a receiver right here. They just spent the mortgage on Kenny Galladay. I think Sterling Shepard is good. And I think Darius Slayton, as your number three, is fine. They even added John Ross. That was one of the first ones. So they, nothing about the Giants last year really said they're one wide receiver away, but they added that wide receiver already, seemingly, with Kenny Galladay. George, that takes us right into the next thing. What are the Eagles going to do at 12? And yeah, I think Devontae Smith makes a lot of sense. He's sitting there at plus 300. We also have Patrick Surtain at plus 300. Jalen Waddle at plus 500. It just seems like the odds on this prop are a little bit off, because, yeah, Waddle seemingly will go first. I mean, the amount of Tyreek Hill comps we've gotten for this guy is nauseating at this point. Smith to the Eagles at plus 300, man, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I like your point about the Giants not necessarily needing a wide receiver. That's definitely what Gettleman is thinking, 100%. What do I need another wide receiver for? I need another defensive tackle. Well, I would argue, if you're going to go in on Daniel Jones, you better not have any excuses. So I personally could consider one for the Giants, but I'm with you in that probably being too high. I like Smith 3-1. I don't mind Waddle 5-1. The first wide receiver taken last year, Henry Ruggs, right? Everyone's like, oh, would he go top five, top seven, or the Cardinals take him? It's like, all of a sudden he's sitting there 10, 11, 12, and the Raiders pick him up. And so people probably get too excited about wide receivers relative to the league. I would probably put a little change on Waddle at 5-1, knowing that some of these teams will galaxy brain themselves into more physically impressive, bigger players earlier on. And then that's not a bad one for the Eagles either. You know, I think he's more similar to Rager, obviously, because of the speed. But dude, watch this guy play. I mean, he's not by no means a one-trick pony. The dude is incredible.
Just give me someone in Philly. You guys lost D-Jax and Alshon's corpses already. We can't just come back with Rager, Greg Ward, and Travis Fulgham. Hopefully, at some point, Zach Ertz is traded.
We can only hope. I don't know what you'd get for him. I mean, is there a team out there offering?
Okay, just get him away so we can have Dallas Goedert. That's all I want.
A cheese whiz, extra cheese. The interesting thing about the Eagles is I have this sneaking suspicion that last year may color their draft this year, and we see them take like the third tackle off the board or something.
Another Derek Barnett, you know, just edge rusher potential signing.
Jason Owe,
Same thing with the Packers. We can dream, but at the end of the day, gun to your head, probably will not be taking a wide receiver. We shall see. George, haven't talked a ton of defense because there's just not many guys that are expected to be going all that highly. With that said, top 10 among defenders, Patrick Surtain, number one at minus 200. Parsons at plus 110, Horn at plus 100. Do you see one of these guys going top three, and do you have maybe a potential landing spot you like for the first defender off the board?
I kind of like Parsons here, and this is more about what I believe the NFL believes, which is, you know, it's just hard to find like physical specimens. And, you know, we tend to undervalue relative to the market linebackers or relative to the NFL linebackers. So I wouldn't take Surtain at minus 200. I think corner is such a crapshoot in terms of what teams value at corner. You know, like, you know, the Falcons loved AJ Terrell, and it was like, okay, a lot of teams are like, I wouldn't have touched him in the first round. You know, it's kind of a eye of the beholder thing. Whereas I think every eye at least sees the same Micah Parsons. So that would be a guy that I would probably take to be first defender taken. I see Parsons prop right now is 13.5, but it's juiced towards the under, probably closer to like 12.5. You look at the Panthers, the Lions are such a funny one, man. I just feel like that Lions perfect. Taking Micah Parsons. It's so perfect. It's so perfect with Dan Campbell. It's just, it fit. Trey Lance is sitting there. They go, we actually really like Jared Goff. Who's a guy that's going to bite kneecaps off? And Micah Parsons is there.
Any concerns about the off-the-field stuff? I just saw Mike Renner's tweet from yesterday. Mm-hmm. I won't get into specifics. They are individual allegations and stuff, so I don't want to, you know, say anything that didn't actually happen, but if it was higher than 13.5, I would think maybe there could be some value in like a free fall. You know, we saw it happen with Ruben Foster and others, but that 13.5 almost seems like that's already kind of being put into it, because as much as the top, you know, six teams, we kind of know what's going to go on there. Like, there are going to be defenders going, and it's tough to really make a top three, top defenders, even with having this in mind, that doesn't include Parsons.
That is a really good point. And look, Surtain is great. J.C. Horn is also incredible. And, you know, if you look at those two players, is there really that big of a disparity between them? I would argue no. You know, both sons of NFL players. There is a team that certainly, or multiple teams that will not touch Parsons. And whether he has, if there is a coach that will be convinced by Micah Parsons having turned his life around, is Dan Campbell.
Yeah. There we go. Bite those kneecaps. George, fantastic stuff. Last thing, your absolute favorite can't miss draft prop that you love this year.
Okay. It was obviously Mac Jones under 18.5 when it dropped. Just a reminder to get these early. Come listen to the PFF forecast. We'll talk about them from the very second they drop. As we're sitting here right now, though, the syndicate is moving on to Trey Lance. Okay. This evening, you know, I don't know when this pod will get up, but this evening of the 22nd of April, my syndicate co-chairman and I, Eric Eager, will be making an investment in Trey Lance at plus 350 to go to the 49ers. It's anyone but Mac at this point, Ian. So I will be the owner on Thursday. I will need life support potentially just about an hour into the draft, the draft show on pff.com, because if the Niners take Mac Jones, my wallet will be lighter. My heart will stop beating. It's going to be something to behold.
People, there's no reason not to tune in to PFF draft show just to see George and Eric's reaction to pick number three alone. Again, we're kicking off at 7 p.m. on Thursday, April 29th. We'll also be there Friday rounds two 2 through 3 at 6, Saturday rounds 4 through 7, 11 a.m., and Sunday with a draft recap at noon. I will be there giving my just full-on fantasy thoughts for every single piece of news. Of course, George, Austin, Mike, plenty of PFF talent. Maybe even Chris Collinsworth appearance.
Rumor is he'll be there.
Rumor has it. George, great stuff. People can find you on Twitter at PFF underscore George. Again, co-host the PFF Forecast. Any final thoughts?
I can't wait. I just can't wait. It's been so long. It'll be good to see you again. I'm looking forward. I am a year-round fantasy player. So if you don't think that my eye is on these quarterbacks and running backs, you're wrong. This is going to be a lot of fun, man. Thank you for having me, brother.
Yeah, man, let's get these rosters set. And I look forward to getting some rubies with the gang next week.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to do it, everybody. He's George. I'm Ian. This has been the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. And until next time, take care, everybody.